Christ and through the power of the Holy Spirit, you are all extraordinary if you have faith in Jesus and Holy Spirit. But on the outside, we do look pretty ordinary, don't we? But we can be extraordinary for God. And this morning, we're going to have a number of stories and testimonies about how God has used us, ordinary people. Because sometimes we think it's just for some folk. Maybe it's the person at the front. Perhaps it's the person who works for the church. Perhaps it's for the big people we see on God TV or whatever it might be. Actually, it's for all of us. We're all ordinary, but with God, we can be extraordinary. So we're going to hear some stories, and hopefully that will kind of change your mindset to go, actually, that could be me. If I plug myself into God and make myself available to God, oh, that could be me. So hopefully, as we hear some of that this morning, you will be inspired and challenged and all those kind of things. We're going to link it into our bridge service theme. Hopefully you'll remember what that is. I'm going to invite Joey to come up and just remind us a little bit about what we've been looking at the bridge. Thanks, Joey.
Morning, everybody. Who here has ever been to a bridge service before? Everybody in the room? Well, if there are a few that haven't raised their hands, a bridge service is normally what we run on the first Sunday of the month, which would be today. But plenty of people are on holiday, so we're doing a little bit differently this month. But I'm just going to reflect on the last few months worth, well, since February, of the theme we've been running. Does anybody remember the theme for the bridge services for this year? Unlikely heroes, indeed. And you might remember the ones that we've looked at. We've had a variety of different ones, some well known and some not so known. But as has been mentioned this morning, I don't know about you, but I often think about Bible characters a bit like James mentioned, people up the front or celebrities or people in the limelight. You think, oh, they've got it all together, or like they know what they're doing. In my mind, Bible heroes, mostly the males, have got beards. Does anyone ever think that? Maybe James might go down in history, but there's something about a Bible character you think, oh, they've probably got a good beard and they're really wise and they're kind of untangible, aren't they? They lived so long ago, but they have all of this amazing history written about them. But actually, many of these heroes that we read about were pretty unlikely. They were ordinary, just like we said to each other. They were ordinary people that God used. So to think back to the first one we looked at was Joseph, and I'm just going to read these through quite quickly. So Joseph, found in Genesis 37-49, the story of Joseph. Joseph was young, says he's only 17. He was a Canaanite, which wasn't very significant. He was hated by his brothers, and there were a lot of brothers. It wasn't just like a bit of sibling rivalry. There were a lot of brothers that hated him. He was a trafficked slave, and he was a prisoner. But it says the Lord was with Joseph. He prospered and gave him success in everything he did. He gave him the gift of insight. He interpreted dreams, and God gave him leadership and authority over the whole of Egypt. Then we've got Daniel, found in the book of Daniel. He was a captive in his own city when the king of Babylon besieged Jerusalem. He was also a refugee. He was exiled. And physically, he went against all the odds and was trapped in a confined space with number one in the food chain, the lion. And if anyone's seen the recent Lion King movie, which I haven't, you can think of that scary roar, that picture of authority in the animal kingdom. And apparently, he was 80 years old at this point. It's thought that Daniel, an 80-year-old man, was in a confined space with a pack of lions. But God gave him knowledge and understanding. He had self-control. It says he resolved not to defile himself. He had favor placed on him. The king lavished him with gifts. He was trustworthy and not corrupt, it says. Chapter 6, verse 4. He was a prayer warrior. And he was faithful to God. So how about the servant of Nahum in 2 Kings? This was a female hero that we looked at. Some of you might never have read about her. Go and look in 2 Kings chapter 5. She was a captive. She was young. And we don't even know her name. But she was brave. And she stood up for what she believed in. And she had an unswerving faith in God's plan. How about Job? He was stripped of all his physical power. He was open to the attack and influence of Satan. He was filled with grief. He was covered with boils and sores, and he was stripped of all his earthly possessions. But he was righteous and upright. He was loved by God. He was known and trusted by him. He was full of faith and able to see God's big picture. Samson, in the book of Judges, chapter 13 to 16, was rebellious. He was blind. He burned with anger and was stripped of all his power. But the Spirit of the Lord was on him. He was blessed by God and he was filled with physical strength. And finally, last month we looked at Rahab in Joshua chapter 2. She was a prostitute and she was pretty unknown by anyone significant. But she was incredibly brave. She trusted God's bigger plan. She was obedient to God. All of these unlikely heroes were insignificant lives that God brought to significance. All of these lives were hopeless, but God brought hope through them. In all of these unlikely heroes, God brought his kingdom to earth throughout history.
Thanks, Joey. It felt like a good opportunity that we, perhaps in my mind, we see the bridge service as something that's separate from what we do. But actually, it's important. It's part of us as a church, part of our journey as a church and growing as a family. It's just good to remind ourselves. And so often we come on a Sunday, and again, it might just be me, and someone asks you, maybe on the Wednesday or Thursday, oh, what was the message about? And you go, not sure, which is why I write notes, so I have to get my notebook out. But actually, it's important that if God is saying something on a Sunday, and he says something to you, and then you just don't do anything about it, or forget it, it's just important, isn't it, to take hold of what God is saying together. Particularly, it's with God. God says something together for us together, not just on a one-to-one, but when God speaks to us as a body, to hear and to ask the question, okay, well, what do I do? What do I do with that? So this morning, just a reminder that nobody is insignificant in God. Okay, and in fact, that's probably a qualification. Weakness is a qualification. Not having it all together. Making an absolute mess of your life is probably a qualification to being used by God. So you are all significant this morning. So we're going to just hear a little bit of some stories now. I'm just going to introduce a couple called Paul and Anne Rain. They used to be part of Basingstoke Church, Basingstoke Church is where Dave and Chris Richards come from. Phil from Norris, who's spoken here as well. They now live in Ashford. Just ask them to come and share if you want to come up, Paul and Anne, just at the beginning of our time, and just hearing some of their journey. And I'll let them introduce yourselves and how your journey's gone. Thanks, Paul.
He's got his time. Come on, time it. I'll have 5 minutes. I'm ordinary. I haven't got a beard either. I'm 69, married to Anne. We've been married 45 years. So on Saturday, I start my fourth consecutive life sentence. not really. we used to live in Basingstoke, and my life, Christian life, changed about 4.5 years ago, because in Basingstoke they had this School of Supernatural Ministry. Phil Norris was on that, and Chris Richards, Robin and Margie Mendelson, you might know as well, they came on that course, and God really changed us. I think what changed for me particularly was a revelation again how much God loved me, that Jesus had died in my place, and that because he died for me, I could do anything for him. And on this course also, Emily used to challenge us to go out and talk to someone about Jesus every day, which was a challenge. We never quite did that, but it was a challenge set before us to go out and talk to somebody new, somebody different about Jesus. And to hear from God and hear his direction in that. And I've got some amazing stories of how that happened and how God enabled us to meet with different people to share some good news about Jesus. A couple of stories then for you. A few months ago, I was taking the dog for a walk, and I like to walk around Singleton Lake in Ashford. You might know where it is. And I felt before I went that I wanted God to lead me and direct me to anybody he wanted me to speak to. And I sensed that God wanted me to speak to somebody with a green jacket. Okay, off I walked my little dog. And didn't see anybody. As soon as I got to the lake, there was a man fishing there with a green jacket. No one else in sight. I thought, oh, well, he must be the person I was speaking to. I go up to him and say, excuse me, I'm a Christian. I believe God's told me to speak to you because he gave me this picture of a green jacket. It must be you. He looked at me a bit strange. And he said, can I pray for you? He said, what's your name? He said, Luke. Luke. Well, Luke was a follower of Jesus. And I believe God wants you to be a follower of Jesus as well. So I was able to pray with him, pray for his fishing, and pray for his whole life. And I believe God sowed a seed in his life then that would bring forth fruit. And that's what we do. God wants us to be his seed carriers, if you like, to be in places and meeting with people and in situations where we can reflect something of God's glory into people's lives, be that transmit something of Jesus into people's lives. Another story would be that a couple of weeks ago, I was again walking my dog, and over the common, and met this couple. Also had a dog about the same size as our dog. And as you do, you stop and chat and talk about dogs and breeds and everything else like that. And I walked away. I thought I should have talked to that couple about God. And so you then sort of make a bit of a bargain with God. Okay, if I see him again, I'll pray with him. Carried on walking. About a mile later, I doubled back, and there was the same couple sitting on a bench, almost waiting for me. I can't get over this time. I went up and spoke to them, and we began talking about the dog and everything else, and the weather and everything else. And I said, well, I'm a Christian. Is there something I can pray for you? And this lady looked at me and said, she had a certain medical condition she's having treatment for. Could I pray for her? And her husband then said, and you can pray for me as well, because I'm suffering from depression because of my wife and her condition. I said, I'd love to pray for you. And I just prayed God's blessing on that, on their lives right there and then. And God would bring healing and health and freedom from depression into their lives. And it was a very precious time, because it's just like God's presence came very, very special at that time. I sensed it, I'm sure they sensed it. There on that common, God's heaven touched earth and touched those people's dear lives. And off they went, and off I went. And God did something in that lives. And God wants us to be those transmitters of his glory and bring his presence and his word into situations and into people's lives. I had a picture this morning of a wind turbine. These big wind turbines. It's actually on top of the church here. A wind turbine produces energy, heat and light and energy. And God wants us to be catchers of the wind of his spirit, and transmit that in terms of light of revelation and power of his Holy Spirit into other people's lives. Got that? Okay, my time's up.
Before I start, I must just tell you a little bit about Paul. I've been married to him for 45 years, and for 40 of those years, he's the most unsociable man that you could ever meet. If I had friends round, he'd go upstairs. If we went to, well, he would never go to a party. If we went out to meet people, he would not say a word the whole evening. He wasn't rude, well, maybe sometimes. And I used to say, Paul, what's the matter with you? And he'd say, well, I've got nothing to say. So, you know, why say rubbish? And God transformed that man. So if anyone doesn't believe his story, I'm telling you, it's God, because he could not do that himself. And he will go up to anybody now, and he will talk to anybody. I can't do it, but he will go up and just cold call them, if you like, and just say, God's told me to speak to you, can I pray with you? And I think he's had one rejection. And as he walked away, he was really sad because that person didn't want anything to do with him. And God said to him, just think how I felt when I was rejected. And there's not a patch on that. And that encouraged him. So that's Paul. My story is completely different. I retired from teaching at 60. And I retired from doing youth work, which I'd done since I was 14. All at the same time. Disaster. I just went down, and I just said to God, well, that's it then. You've finished with me. Yeah, I'm useless. I'm hopeless. I've done it all, been there and done it, bought the T-shirt. There's nothing left for me, and so I'm just going to sit and mope. And then this course came up, a supernatural course. No way. I didn't want to do that. I'm ordinary. I don't want to do that. And Paul said, I don't often say this to you, but I want you to do it. So I thought, oh dear, okay. So there was 12 of us doing it. There was a lot of the pastors of the church. And I said, oh gosh, I don't want to be here. And so Emily went round saying to everyone, why are you here? And they said, oh, I want to get to know God more. I want to go out on the streets. I want to witness. And it came to me, and I said, I don't want to be here. I don't know why I'm here. I don't want to be here. I don't want anything to do with this, really. And so the first week came, and I thought, oh no, I've got to go. And all I did is cry. And it was as if, I mean, I've been a Christian since I was 11. It's almost as if I was reborn again. I just felt God loved me in a way that I'd never felt before. Overwhelmed by God's love. I couldn't stop crying. I went through boxes of tissues and just cried and cried and cried for several weeks. And then God gave me a picture and said to me, this is what I want you to do. I just want you to be Jesus to people. I thought, oh no, how can I do that? He said, I just want you to be yourself. I can't cold call. I can't go up to somebody on the street and say, you need Jesus. So what can I do? So I've got really bad knees, so I can't walk far. So I sit on a bench. That's fine, God said. I'll use you sitting on a bench. And I've spoken to dozens and dozens of people just because I'm sitting on a bench. I'll give you a couple of examples. I was in town the other Saturday morning, and I sat on a bench, and there was a bench opposite me empty, and this lady came along with a pram and sat down. So I said to God, is this the one? Yep, off you go. So I went and sat next to her on the bench, and I said, oh, what a beautiful baby. And she said, yes, she said, she's 4 weeks old, but I had to have an emergency cesarean. And I feel I've got an infection. I feel really poorly. And my husband's just about to take me back to hospital. Well, I said, well, actually, I'm a Christian, and God doesn't want you to be in pain. God doesn't want you to have this infection. Would you let me pray for you? And she said, oh, yes, please. So I just prayed a very simple prayer and said, God, will you just come on this lady and heal her? And she kept going, ooh, 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 as if she could feel something but couldn't describe how she felt. And just then her husband came out of the shop with her son, and her son was 9 years old, and he had a broken elbow, and he'd had an operation, but he couldn't move it. So, and he was white as a sheet, and he was standing there. And so she said to me, I didn't even have to say it, this lady can pray for you, and your, you know, for your elbow. So I said to the boy, are you happy for me to pray? Because I believe Jesus can make your elbow better. And he said, yeah. So I just prayed a very simple, I didn't touch him. Prayed a very simple prayer, Lord, will you just touch this elbow and allow it to move? And suddenly he looked at me very strangely, and his face went pink. And he looked up and said, Daddy, I can move my elbow. And he started to move his elbow. God touched him. And so I stood up and I said, right, you don't need to go to hospital now. And I believe God's really touched you. And do you know what that is? And they said, no. I said, because God loves you. You don't have to do fancy sermons. Just God loves you. And I gave them a leaflet. And off they went. And that was, as Paul said, sowing the seed. Just telling people. So every time I go out, well, try anyway, it doesn't always work, but I say, God, I'm available. Holy Spirit, will you just nudge me? And he does nudge me. And I know when I go into town, I go in the coffee shop or sit on the bench, who it is that I've got to speak to. And I've never had a rejection, because people maybe are polite, I don't know. But they all want to know about Jesus. And it's just amazing how, you know. And I look at someone and think, oh no, God wouldn't want anything to do with that. And it's always the one that God sends me to. It's strange, because God loves everybody. Doesn't just like the good looking, the handsome, pretty girls, whatever. He wants everyone to know him. So that's my story. I could tell you hundreds of stories. If somebody wants to know any more, we'll share after. But, you know, God is using us. But doesn't mean to say we're perfect. Please don't think we're perfect, because many a time I go out and I go home and think, I didn't speak to anyone. And I feel disappointed in myself. But then, no, I've got to keep going. And then the enemy says to me, well, your knees aren't healed, so how can you pray for other people? And I say to the enemy, God knows about my knees, and one day he will heal me, but that's not going to stop me praying for other people.
Okay. Phil and Amy too, or Phil or Amy, both of them, I'm not sure if it's both of them or not, to come and share. I'm just feeling like actually some stories will be different. They will be different from different people. And even these guys who are thinking, oh, my story's not quite as good as yours. And comparing. But they're God's stories. God gets the glory in all of these. So, Phil.
Well, a little bit while I was just going to recap on what Phil said. And James has done all that, so I haven't really got anything to say. So I'm just going to stand here for 5 minutes and smile. I was really, really blessed and encouraged with what Phil was saying. And there's something about hearing people's stories and their testimonies that raises our faith levels. And we need to hear more of it. So if you've got testimonies and stories, let's have some next Sunday, and the next Sunday, and the next Sunday, and the next Sunday, and during the week as well. Because there's something something inside us, just think, yes, God, you're doing something. Use me in that. And so after hearing Phil on Sunday, I was thinking Sunday afternoon and Monday, thinking, cool, maybe I'll look at people's hands, see if they've got any warts on their hands or whatever, and maybe I can pray, see what happens. But there wasn't anybody with any warts. There's just a few verses I just want to read, just to encourage us In Matthew it says, I am salt and light of the earth. In John it says, I am the branch and you are the vine, a channel of his life. In John, I have been chosen and appointed to bear fruit. In Acts, I am a personal witness of Christ. In Corinthians, I am God's temple. In Corinthians 2, I am a minister of reconciliation. 2 Corinthians, I am God's co-worker. In Ephesians, I am seated with Christ in the heavenly realms. Ephesians again, I am God's workmanship. In Ephesians again, I may approach God with freedom and confidence. In Philippians, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. In our weakness, he is strong. There was one quote from a book, Driven Purpose Church. What's it called? But yeah, that's the one. Rick Warren. And if I can just find it now. It says this: God always uses imperfect people in imperfect situations to accomplish his will. I'll just say that again. God always uses imperfect people in imperfect situations to accomplish his will. And I just felt when the other guys had come up and when James was saying, people have already ruled themselves out straight away. I can't do that. That's not me. I'm too shy. Well, the good thing is that the Holy Spirit isn't shy. The Holy Spirit is loving, is powerful, and it's interested in you and in other people. And it's about making ourselves available for what God wants to do. And it's about just allowing his mystery, his grace, his love to penetrate the hearts of people around us. And I just want to just read a couple of lines of the song that we sung earlier on. And then Amy's going to just come and speak. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder. Show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me into love to those around me. Then it challenges me, who's around me? Who am I impacting? Who is it around me that I'm spending my time with? Who's it around me that maybe I'm offering to pray for? It's just a challenge for us.
Okay. When I was praying to God about what to share this morning, it was really reassuring to hear this morning, James, that I am qualified because I am completely ordinary and a lot of the time feel really inadequate. The heckler there is my husband. And if I'm honest with you all, actually, I feel as though I'm going through a bit of a dry patch when it comes to sharing God's love with others. And I've seen people close to me who have become Christians who have then had horrendous things happen in their lives. And so that then questions, you know, it makes you question, well, what is going on? And then I felt God saying to me, actually, you need to share about one of your friends that really taught me about God's timing. And actually what was great is the fact that going back over that story, and I'm feeling overwhelmed now, has reassured me the fact that actually God's timing is perfect. And the friend I want to quickly share about, and she said that it's fine for me to share, and she said it's a really special moment for her. Because really it's her story. And we'd worked together for about 15 years. On and off. And about sort of 8 years ago, she had asked me, she was telling me about her father who was dying, and I said, oh, can I pray for you? And I prayed about it, but always left feeling a bit guilty that I hadn't done enough to be able to share about God and how much more he can do. And then a few years went by and nothing happened, and we carried on working with each other on and off. And then one day we were working in different offices at that point, and she phoned me about a work issue. And whilst we were talking about that, she suddenly started telling me about a personal family issue that she had going on and sort of almost poured her heart out to it, which was unusual because we hadn't spoken for a while. So I then said, well, why don't we go out for dinner? So we went out to Escondido's and had a meal together. And God had put it on my heart that I needed to pray for her. But if anyone is similar to me, you're then spending the whole meal trying to work out, well, how's that going to happen? The restaurant's really busy. There's loads of people. How am I going to suddenly say I need to pray for you? But God kept that on my heart. The meal happened. There was no opportunity. We walked outside the restaurant. It was blowing an absolute gale. The rain was pelting. We were parked our cars in that car park. Anyone know where I mean? Where the sea is and by the sea. So the waves were crashing. And I'm like, oh, we can't really stand in the car park and pray. So I then said, oh, do you want to come into my car? Because I'd really like to pray for you, thinking, oh, I'm going to sound like a Wally. Oh. So we went into my car, or I went into her car, I can't remember which car, and we prayed. And I didn't know what to pray. And if I'm honest, I can't even tell you what I prayed. But what I do know is that God used that prayer to bring his kingdom into that car and to touch my friend. And that then led her to come to Alpha, and she then became a Christian. And absolutely, she is going for it in Christ. And it's amazing. And what I want to just encourage all of you with, all of the friendships and people in your family that you have been friends with for years, and you keep feeling as though you're missing opportunities, hold on to the fact that God's timing is perfect.
Just to say as well, sometimes we don't actually have to say anything. We are carriers of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes it's just being. In my old workplace, people knew I went to church. People knew that that was my life. And I would offer to pray for a few people, wetting myself at the time. Can I pray for you about that? And they go, yeah. By the end, I worked there for about 10 years. By the end, people were coming to me saying, can you pray for me? My son's got a mental health problem. Phil, I don't know what to do. Can you pray for me? And then you think, God, you're so good. I'm so weak. I'm inadequate. I'm just Phil Coombs. But there's something in me. That's the Holy Spirit. And we've all got it. Let's use it.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Maureen Earle, do you want to come and share?
Okay. When James asked me to share something, I thought, oh, what am I going to share? And the testimony that came to me was an old one. And I felt that it was right, because it's just how God uses us in really unlikely ways. Okay. One day, I was at home doing my ironing in the morning, as you do, and God dropped a word into my heart. It was a verse. So it was Romans 8, verse 1, which says, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. I thought, oh, that's a good verse. And I sort of parked it. Later that day, I went to a meeting, and I was with a group of other people. And because it had been so distinct and so clear, I felt led to share it. So immediately, once I'd said that there is now no condemnation in Christ Jesus, it opened up a whole situation. It was a person responded with tears and said that that verse was just for them. It was what God needed them to hear at that particular time in their situation. My point is that when I got that word, I didn't know who it was for. I didn't know anything about what they were walking through at the time. And I'm amazed that God can work through us even when we don't actually realize or understand what he's doing. He knows exactly what word each of us need to hear at any given time.
Thanks, Maureen.
Hi. I know a lot of you now, but Matthew and I are fairly new, and we don't know all of you, but I just want to say thank you to everybody for welcoming us into this lovely church. We used to live in Warwick some years ago, and when we were there, a friend of mine did a course called a Connect course, not a Connect group, a specific course, also known as a Rough Guide to Finding God. And I thought it sounded quite interesting, so I went along to a couple of sessions just as another Christian, really, as a support, and I just thought it was a great course, and I tucked away at the back of my mind this Connect course and thought I'd like to do it at some point. We then moved to a new house, you know, many years later, really, in Sandgate. And I think 1 or 2 days after we moved, I saw my neighbour walking past, and I didn't know her at all, really, just seen her. And it was just before Christmas, so I leapt up to her and said, "Would you like to come to our Christmas carol service?" And she said, "Oh, yes, please, I'd love to come." So it was a bit of a shock, really, because I didn't quite know why I did that. So, you know, I hadn't really planned to do it, but she came. And she then came to a few more services, too. And then a few months later, another neighbour across the road actually came up to me, I don't know why, God knows why, and said, "Can I come to church with you sometime?" I mean, I hadn't done anything I hadn't set it up at all. And she said, I said, "Of course, she's welcome to come." So she's now come a few times as well. A little bit later on, I was in the Tuesday prayer group, and a theme was emerging about being bold. And that really hit me. And at the back of my mind was this thing, Connect course. And I thought, perhaps this is the moment when I ought to set up this Connect course. So I went home and ordered the material online. It all arrived. And then, of course, I had to go and ask people if they wanted to do it. Straight away, it was a yes from one friend and a yes from another. The second one said, "There's a lady down the road I think she'd really like to come to." So I went and knocked on her door, and I didn't even know this lady. And she said she'd like to come too. So we started this course some weeks ago, and we had a few sort of social get-togethers. We're now on week 4 this Wednesday, so if you think to pray for us, please do. And I'm just excited about what God's doing, because it wasn't me setting it up, really. And just a reminder that we all know, of course, that it's not by chance that we live where we live. It's not by chance that we are where we are any of the time. And, you know, there's a reason for that. Okay, thanks, James. In true teacher fashion, I have brought along a visual aid. Here is my neighbour, Pat.
Well, you win there. Well done, Wendy. Do you want to come and share? This will be the last story, then I'm just going to sum up.
Okay, listening to Paul and his wife reminded me of lovely, wonderful days of treasure hunting. But anyway, and also the little things that happen in our daily lives. Thursday morning, I'm walking along the Lees to go into town, and I've almost reached the memorial arch, and I can hear a very familiar voice behind me saying, "Good morning, good morning, good morning." And I knew exactly who it was. It was this little kind of elderly man, short, a little bit stocky, always wears shorts. And I've seen him 2 or 3 times. And he goes along the Lees and he says good morning to everybody. He never looks up. He just says good morning. So he's coming a little bit closer to me. He gets level with me and he says good morning. I do the good morning to you. Then he stopped and turned round and said, "How are you today?" I said, "I'm fine, thank you. How are you?" He said, "Yes, I'm well too." Then he started to talk to me about various wonders about, we started off about the weather, and then he's talked about water and this and that, and whether there was life on Mars, and it all was to do with the nearness to the sun, and Venus was nearer, and so on and so on. And I sort of nodded and put a little word in from time to time when I could. I said, "Yes, and if we were any nearer to the sun, we wouldn't be able to live. And if we were further from the sun, we wouldn't exist." It's wonderful, isn't it? What a lovely arrangement. And then he rubbed his hand again. I thought, it's time to change the subject. So I said to him suddenly, Do you know that one day when Jesus was living on the earth, a man came to him and wanted to talk to him. He said he knew that Jesus must be from God because he was doing lots of wonderful things. And Jesus turned to him and said, "You must be born again." And so, of course, the man who Jesus was talking to looked a little bit surprised and said, "How can a man of my age go back into his mother's womb and be born again?" And so, of course, Jesus explained to him that this was to do with the Holy Spirit. This was a spiritual birth, not a normal birth. So I explained that to the man as well. And I said, you know, for anybody, whoever receives Jesus, whoever believes in Jesus can have this wonderful new life. That's what Jesus called being born again. And so he said, well, that's all very well, but I'm interested in Eastern religions like Buddhism, etc. And so he went that way towards McDonald's. I crossed over the road and went the other way towards the town. Not 2 minutes later, I rounded the corner, and there was a man standing outside Barclays Bank looking across the road. As I passed him, he said, "It's a pity that that place is in such a mess, isn't it?" And I'm not quite sure what he was looking at. And he said, "There's a to-let sign in the window." He said, "Well, I suppose the rents are rather expensive here." And I thought, I wonder if he's looking for somewhere to live. So I said, "Are you looking for somewhere to live?" And he said, "No, I'm not. I'm wondering, it's a pity about that place. I don't come up into this part of the town very often." Then I noticed he had a very shiny, lovely brown stick in his left hand. So I said, "Oh, that's a lovely stick you've got there." And he said, "Yes, I bought it at such and such a shop." And he said, "Do you know the shop?" "Yes, I know where you mean." And I said, "Well, why have you got a stick? Have you got a problem with your back or your leg?" And he said, "No, it's my balance." And so as he said that, he moved his head very slowly towards me, and I could understand he had been looking in the same direction all the time. So I said, "My name's Wendy and I'm a Christian. Would you like me to pray for you?" And he said, "Yes, okay then, thank you." So I said, "Well, what's your name, please?" "Stephen." So I just put my hand out. I didn't actually put my hand on him. And I just prayed, first of all, thanking God for every provision that he'd made for Stephen, that he had somewhere to live and he had this lovely stick to help him. Then I just prayed healing for him. I prayed in the name of Jesus that Stephen would be healed of every affliction that was in his body. And I pray that God would bless him and take care of him. And he moved his head to me and said, "Thank you very much." And we went off our separate ways. That was it. But it's like his face had softened a little bit. And it is like, as Paul said, a little bit of heaven came down at that moment. You sense it, and it's wonderful. Praise God.
I was reading in Acts chapter 3 and 4 about the healing of the lame beggar with Peter and John. And there's three bits that just came out of that. Qualifications for being used by Jesus. And there's one line in here, and the Sadducees are responding to what they've seen. And it says, "When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus." That's the qualification. Spending time with Jesus. Being filled with his Holy Spirit. That's our qualification. Charlotte and some of the other young people were away on a course, a camp called Naturally Supernatural. And I was just asking her, what did God say to you? Is there anything that you wanted to share? She's not here this morning. But this is what she felt like God had impressed on her. She said, "There is always a place at his table, and we should always be hungry and thirsty all the time. We can ask for more any time, and we should never be content. We're like buckets with holes, and they need filling all the time." So I want to leave our service there, and I think it'd be good just to be quiet for a minute. Sometimes we're not very good at being quiet, are we? So let's just take a minute to be quiet. If you want to pray out, resist the temptation to pray out. Let's just be quiet together. And perhaps it may be as simple as waking up in the morning going, "Jesus, I'm here." Or, "Jesus, fill me again because I'm dry." It might be speaking to somebody and saying, "Oh, can I pray for you?" Or just even say, when they say, what did you do at the weekend? Oh, I was at church. It was really good and we did this. Or maybe it's something bigger, seeing somebody in the street and going, okay, God, do you want me to speak to that person? For every person, there's probably different levels. But why don't you take a minute to ask God where you fit, where you're at with him at the moment, and ask him to fill you again and say you're available. So let's just take a minute to do that, and then we'll close our meeting.